Hi, my name is Daniel Garber, and I review movies each Friday morning for CulturalMining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM. Today, I'm going to talk about how movies portray strangers in a strange land and review some movies where the characters are somewhere far from home, movies that have played recently or are opening soon that you might want to catch. To provide adventure, mystery, or comedy, directors often turn to faraway locations to add a bit of novelty to their films. The hero you identify with starts out as a stranger in a weird place, a fish out of water, but over the course of the movie, learns to adapt, fit in, fall in love, become friends, or else escapes out of that strange hellhole she found herself in. In a good movie, set abroad, you get to see some things you never would otherwise. Maybe get to know some local characters, not just the hero from back home. And ideally, hear them speak in a language the viewer can understand, or at least one with subtitles. A bad movie of this type, like the popular and critically acclaimed Lost in Translation, they just use the locals as scenery, lines untranslated, leaving the viewer in the dark as to the real characters. It's great at conveying fear or alienation, but little else. Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland tells a new version of the well-known story, The Ultimate Stranger in a Strange Land. His version is a slightly different take on the book, or maybe you could say a remake of the Disney cartoon. Alice is now an extremely rich young woman in Victorian England, not a little girl, who is at a garden party at her palatial estate. When she has to make a big decision, with hundreds of people watching, she decides instead to chase a white rabbit down his hole. There she finds herself in Wonderland, or Underland, where she discovers friends and enemies, all of whom seem to know her, but aren't sure she's the real Alice. I'm not sure either. Her friends, the Dormouse, the March Hare, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, the Mad Hatter, the Cheshire Cat, tell her she must find the Vorpal Sword and slay the Jabberwocky, snickersnack, on a specific day. Her enemies, the fractious, dictatorial Queen of Hearts, who likes to yell, "Off with their heads!" and her suitor, the Knave of Hearts, are busy looking for Alice, not knowing if it is her even when they see her. Alice herself gradually shifts from being a naive, passive character into a Joan of Arc-style heroine. Some parts of this movie were a lot of fun, and there were some neat images added to it. The deck of cards that made up the Queen of Hearts' private army were much stronger and scarier, more metallic, less papery, than the original drawings by John Tenniel. But so much of the original Alice in Wonderland and Through a Looking Glass depended on its fun plays on words, caricatures, puzzles, symbols, and funny poems and song parodies, which were largely dumped in this version. The one poem used, the Jabberwocky, was given too much prominence, with its unusual nonsense vocabulary like frabjous day repeated way too often in the storyline. I suppose they wanted it to make sense to small children, it seems. I wasn't that taken by this movie. The costumes and the design were impressive, and it had a great cast, but that's not enough to keep me rapt. I think this version was made for small children as minimal appeal to adults. Its biggest problem is that a lot of the absurdity and irony of the original is gone. When I was a kid, I liked the poems like Your Old Father William and The Walrus and the Carpenter because they were cruelly funny. That's all been neatly scrubbed away and Disneyfied, replaced with a hardline literalness. No irony, few twists, and fewer hints of psychedelia than even the old Disney cartoon. If the book was The Simpsons, this movie is The Flintstones. The Green Zone, directed by Paul Greengrass, is a movie about the reasons given by the U.S. to justify the war in Iraq and how one American soldier tries to uncover the truth. Roy Miller, a soldier in Iraq in 2004, played by Matt Damon, is in charge of a team in Baghdad finding weapons of mass destruction, the WMDs that were the reason U.S. and Britain gave for invading that country. But his searches are turning up nothing. He thinks the intelligence they're using is faulty, but whenever he questions it within the military, he's told there's no problem and to follow his orders and shut up. Then a local man gives Miller some potentially significant news about former Iraqi government officials. With the help of his newfound friend, Miller breaks up a meeting in progress and briefly glimpses one of the men, Al-Rawi, whose picture was on the most wanted deck of cards issued by the government, a popular news item during this war. Miller, frustrated, turned to the CIA as represented by a tubby middle-aged agent named Brown. Brown casually tosses him $1 million cash in a knapsack to pass on to the person of interest. Meanwhile, other American officials are doing what they can to stymie his plans. Who will come out on top? What's the secret? Is the embedded journalist a Judith Miller-type character reliable? Are there any WMDs at all? And what is Al-Rawi's secret information? The Green Zone is a fast-moving war flick about the big issues of U.S. culpability for invading Iraq, as investigated by Matt Damon's Everyman's Soldier and the Iraqi contact he works with. While not an anti-war movie, it depends on guns, explosions, helicopters, chases, and shootouts for its eye candy, it is clearly against the U.S. reasons for invading Iraq. War blame is rarely seen in mainstream movies. The director, Paul Greengrass, likes jiggly handheld camera shots and a documentary style. To lend authenticity, he liberally borrows scenes from movies like the fantastic 2004 documentary Gunner Palace, which had GIs sunbathing by swimming pools in half-destroyed Baghdad mansions. So a lot of the movie is interesting to watch, and as a shootout mystery thriller, The Green Zone's not bad either. Dinner with Stella, Canadian director Dilip Mehta's first film, is about another set of people in a distant place. Maya and Michael, a Canadian diplomatic couple placed in New Delhi, played by the excellent actors Donald McKellar and Lisa Ray, are settling in at the embassy. Michael, who is the real-life chef at Rideau Hall in Ottawa, finds himself with not much to do in New Delhi, so he tries to get their servant and cook, Stella, a Christian Indian woman, known for her skill in the kitchen, to become his guru and introduce him to Indian cooking. Luckily, the movie is more than a cooking show. It's actually a sort of an upstairs-downstairs look at clueless expat Canadians and their wily, crooked servants who take advantage of them at the drop of a hat. The Canadians are really side characters. Don McKellar is there more as the straight man than the comic. The main plot involves Stella, played by the very funny Seema Biswas, and her gambling, drinking, black marketeering and paybacks that are her daily bread and butter in her little subcultural fiefdom within the embassy. When an innocent new nanny, Tanu, threatens to upset Stella's world with her honesty, she realizes she needs a new plan. Her goals become larger and even more nefarious, but end up with Stella being kidnapped. What will become of her? The movie is a cute, small film with a fairly low budget and a first-time director, so judging by these criteria, it's an enjoyable film. There's a bit of Bollywood parody scenes, some colorful views of an outdoor market, some funny dialogue. It also has some painfully lame gags involving driving on the wrong side of the road and some obvious joke setups. It's loaded with lots of Canadian references, Group of Seven and Norval Morisseau pictures on the walls, welcome bienvenue signs on a foreboding embassy fence, but it concentrates less on the strangers in the strange land, more on the very interesting local characters. Actually, the scenes I liked the most were the ones that reminded me of Mira Nair's movie Monsoon Wedding, also a comedy about the interlinked worlds of families and servants in India. The blah Canadian-focused scenes were what dragged the movie down a bit and made it palatable but bland, but see it for great, funny Indian characters in a Canadian movie. Just to review, today I talked about Strangers in a Strange Land and how they're portrayed in Alice in Wonderland and The Green Zone, now playing, check your listings, and Dinner with Stella, opening today. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies every Friday on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.